Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If that lion falls on the right, babe.
All right, we can sing again.
Not that Maggie's. Ba, ba. Back in time.
McMonagle here with you on the fan. 877-337-6666. That's the number to call. I got you for 3 hours till 5 a.m. rolls around. Then, of course, the warm-up show. Until then, it's me and you. Again, taking your phone calls. 877-337-6666. Fliegelman's back from his vacation and his short stint with the morning show yesterday. And, you know, as we'll get into the baseball. We'll get into the blown save, the first real blip on the radar for Clay Holmes. We'll get into the lousy Mets who make mistakes in the field, who continue to can't hit no matter what they put, no matter how they rejigger the lineup. We'll get to it all, but if there was ever a team that needed another day of trying to figure out what happened and where we go from here, it is this New York Knicks team, who I have to admit, I don't know if I've ever experienced a level of sort of anger or lack of anger or misunderstanding or confusion about how to place our feelings towards a team ever in my life. Because I opened yesterday and I didn't think it was novel. I did not think I would be alone in being disgusted in some ways and being disappointed in some ways of getting blown out in game 7 of the second round of the NBA playoffs. I thought that that would probably be somewhat of a common refrain. And instead, we have absolutely struggled with how to put into terms our love with this team, which, by the way, still love. Still very fond of this team. I am still extremely proud of what they were able to accomplish. But it seems like we can't compartmentalize what happened and how we should feel about it. Because honestly, when I look at this Knicks team, there is no doubt. We could say both these things, and me and Fleeks are talking about it. You could say both of these things at the same time. They do not have to be mutually exclusive. They are not in contrast. The New York Knicks lost mainly because their team was decimated by injuries. Now, Evan was arguing today he doesn't care the reason. Whatever your thoughts are, there's no doubt. If they were healthy going back to January, if Julius Randle was still a member of this team, if OG never got hurt with his hamstring injury, if Bojan Bogdanovic did not get hurt, if Mitchell Robinson did not get hurt, do I feel like they would have beaten the Pacers and we'd be getting ready for a Boston series right now? Yes, I do. I do feel that. But at the same time, this Knicks team that we love and developed this bond with because of how they overcame things still blew a series. In game 7, they had cross-court passes stolen. They couldn't inbound the ball. They missed foul shots. They allowed a team to come in and shoot 70% in a game practically at 67% and break records, play poor defense. There is a level of what we can expect, what we should have expected, the level of gameplay we should have seen, and also the idea that, yes, they were compromised. And yet it feels like if you dare say that, hey, getting to the same place they got last year isn't good enough no matter the circumstance. If you say that, hey, I don't, they were up 2-0. They had a 9-point lead with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter of game 3, and all they needed to do was make foul shots. If you say that finishing out the series, getting blown out 3 consecutive losses, if you can't say that that's a disappointment on some level, what are we doing? Like, I don't understand why both can't be true and why we have to either be on the side of just absolute thank you so much for what you gave us, Knicks, because you've been dreadful for 20 years. A group that had nothing to do with you, that was put together by a man who has nothing to do with the guy who put this team together, by a head coach who had nothing to do with previous generations, because you have been so bad and the people who have worn your uniform have disappointed us at such a level for the last 2 decades. The idea you gave us competent basketball that we fell in love with, that Jalen Brunson became a superstar, that this team had fought and clawed and did everything they could to get back to the same point as last year. Because of that, anything short of absolute praise and flowers, oh my God, you are a hater and a moron. And I'm sorry. I think all of those things are true, as well as they blew the series. You can do both. And that's how I feel. And as we start to look ahead, which we will do right now, as we start to focus on what's best for this organization moving forward, as we start to, in our minds, and what, you know, Leon Rose is going to have to decide of how much of this team needs to come back, how much of this team needs to be changed. Where are they really in the landscape of the NBA that changed dramatically because of injuries, not only to the Knicks, but to other teams, and just the way we've seen this NBA season break here, especially in the Eastern Conference? What are they? What do we expect from them? And how do we go about making the team better? Because you know what? It wasn't good enough. And if you want to scream and hold your breath and stomp your feet and say, but Chris, it's because of Julius Randle. But Chris, it's because of Mitchell Robinson. But Chris, it's because of this. And you've got a leg to stand on, and you can give me more examples than Red Hot Chili Peppers have songs about California. I get it. There are plenty of reasons and plenty of unfortunate events that led to the demise of the New York Knicks. But demise, nonetheless, is what we're dealing with. I don't think that's crazy to say. I don't think it's bashing the Knicks. I don't think it is somehow, you know, an unfair take. And yes, for me, unless this is, and I said this yesterday, unless this is step one, right? Unless this is really the beginning of a process and a continuation of getting to a better spot, of winning an NBA championship, of attaining the ultimate prize, then yes, a loss to a Pacers team, a 6 seed. Who the Knicks were favored against in the series, a loss to that team in the second round, the same place they were eliminated by last year, to a team that was also a lesser seed. There is a level of happiness. There is a level of joy. There is a level of, wow, look at what they accomplished. And then, yes, there is a level of, I'm disappointed. And yes, after Brunson gets hurt, what would we have expected in the next series anyway? That is a moot point. For me, that's a moot point. That doesn't shake away the idea that you lost the series to a team that most of us think they're inferior to, even though there were injuries made. They won by 20, they won by 30 points in game 5. There were still effort levels. There were still offensive rebounds they got in game 5. They didn't get in game 7 with a similar personnel. I know Hart was dealing with something as well. But the idea that there is nothing but joy in Mudville. Casey did strike out. Were there foul tips? Did he tweak an ankle? He did. But he struck out nonetheless. And now it's about going forward and figuring out how to get better. because better they must be. And I don't know, and we'll find, and hopefully one day we'll find out. And I don't know how Leon Rose is going to attack this offseason. And I'll tell you how I would attack it, because I am not totally adverse to changing this team. Because I don't know how many of us at one point thought that this team was good enough to go win an NBA championship. Would a healthy team right now go beat Boston? I don't know. I would have loved to have seen it, but I don't know. What I do know is a couple of things. One, Julius Randle has emerged, Jalen Brunson has emerged as the star of this team. Jalen Brunson has emerged as a number one leader of a franchise. And I want him to be the leader of this franchise. And despite the fact that in both games 6 and 7, he was not good in the first half. He got better in game 6 of the second half, and it didn't matter. And then we didn't get to see him in the fourth quarter of game 7. But his run in the postseason, his run down the stretch of this season, and what he's become has proven to me, I'm sure it's proven to Leon Rose and the Knicks and the rest of the NBA, that he is a legitimate star. And now you have the one. And how do you go about building around that team? Now, what do you believe about Julius Randle? And for me, I understand the thought, and I know run it back. We never got to see it. And typically when you never get to see it, when you are the best team in the NBA for a month under any standard, under any stats you want to look at, they were the best team in the NBA for the month of January. There's no question about it. They were a dominant force. They took on all comers. And they dominated. And then the injuries to clearly Randle for the rest of the year and then Anunoby for a long stretch changed the dynamic of this team, obviously. And moving forward through the playoffs, yes, injuries is the main reason they lost. Just not the only one. But as you look at this team and you want to claim injuries, there are guys who you need to look at. And if you want to keep them as part of this team, and then yes, there is the overwhelming theme that the NBA has had for forever. It is a star-driven league, and you need stars. So going into this offseason, what I would do is I would keep my mind open, and it sounds like this is what Leon Rose is going to do. It's what the plan has been for years before emerging in January as one of the better teams in the NBA, and as someone you thought maybe got us all of our hopes up that they could be an NBA champion. What you need to do is still secure more talent. I was taking calls all last night. You don't have to do anything. What are you going to do? You're going to change the dynamic of this team? I'm going to try and make it better, no? What do we honestly think the Knicks became here? I know it's a great story. They're one of my favorite Knicks teams of all time, too. I had more fun watching them than I've ever had in 30 years. It's a breath of fresh air. For a long time, I lost interest in them because they were so bad. There's no other way to put it. I didn't stop ever caring. I didn't stop watching completely. But there were years where it was just like the Knicks were a forgotten thought. That you were some enthusiasm, which all teams bring you at the beginning of the season, quickly drenched within a few weeks, it seemed like. And then you just went about business knowing the Knicks were miserable for 2 decades. And finally, with this head coach, who absolutely, let's answer that question first, he needs to be back. I don't think there's any doubt that Thibodeau needs to be the head coach of this team. I don't want to hear the minutes. I don't want to hear any complaints. This guy is as important a figure as anyone on the team, including Jalen Brunson, in getting them to where they were in this season. Getting them through the regular season where they didn't diminish, they thrived after all the injuries and managed to get the 2 seed. And then got past Philadelphia and got to where they were. And at the end, yes, they were spent and they were injured. I'm not putting that at the feet of the coach. This coach did a remarkable job. And he did make in-game and in-series adjustments. Some of them good, some of them bad. I told you I hated starting Anunoby in Game 7. I thought it reeked of desperation. But putting McBride in the game, who was awful in Game 7, but don't say that. I don't want to upset people. I mean, you know. It's okay. McBride was fine. He was fine. He was great. I love McBride. I love him. What he's become offensively, such a surprise. Oh, I love McBride. I don't want anyone upset. We can't even say players played poorly in the game. But him putting in the starting lineup in Game 5 to try and shut down Halliburton completely was a very good adjustment. He's capable of adjustments. They struggled on side out of bounds plays, no doubt about it. They had struggled getting the ball up. They made it way too easy, especially off makes, to let the Pacers go up the court. There's no doubt about it. He did not have a perfect series. But I think Knicks fans, and I'm learning, should know the roster was compromised. But he gets blamed for the compromised roster instead of a break for the compromised roster. Everybody else gets a break for the compromised roster. He gets blamed for it. He absolutely needs to get a contract extension. He needs to be the coach moving forward. I believe in Tibbs. First and foremost, he's the leader of the team, along with Jalen Brunson. And then how you look at it, for me, is you see how this shakes out with the other superstars in the league. I am not just resigned to running it back. I think that's foolish. I'm open to that possibility and retweaking things and adding other surrounding players, maybe a couple of guys who can shoot. I think it's time for, I'll tell you this right now, in an injured roster, I think it's time for Mitchell Robinson. I like Mitch. I do. And when he was a surprise second round pick and this rim defender, it was an excellent piece to have. But he's constantly injured. He's made of glass and he has zero offensive game. Zero. And when you pay him that contract and he's making the money he's making, he is no longer the asset he was as just a second round pick. It's time to move on from Mitchell Robinson. I want to keep the free agent Hartenstein. I think his offensive game, the offense runs through him at times. His ability to run the pick and roll, his ability to have that push shot, you know, from the foul line in. He showed you he can offensive rebound. Yeah, he can't defend the rim the way Mitchell Robinson can, but maybe you can get someone who's not a stiff like Sims and bring in other surrounding bench pieces to help him. But for me, I think it's time on a roster that's full of guys who continually get injured to say goodbye to Mitchell Robinson as much as I like him. I think you bring back OG Anunoby, but you have to be open to be saying goodbye to him. You have to be open to, yes, moving on from Julius Randle, which is the major question mark of this offseason. You have to at least be open to it. How could you not be open to it? You have to get better. Don't cloud yourself. Don't be blinded by a decent regular season, a month of great play, and then ultimately falling short to the Pacers, the six-seed Pacers. Things still need to change. They need to get better. There needs to be a level of anger, and to improve this team, you can't just run it back. And I'm open to Julius Randle because I know what he became in this season. He stopped shooting the three as much. He got to the basket more. He's obviously the secondary scorer for this team next to Brunson, and he's an important piece. And I'm open to keeping him and changing a certain dynamic of this team. But you have got to be out there seeing what stars shake free. Because this is a star-driven league. It is. It still is. And yes, the Knicks do it different, and it's part of the reason why we love them, and it's amazing that they got this far. I don't necessarily need to be amazed. I don't need to be on a nightly basis just overly impressed with the absolute effort they give, and that's the reason why they're winning. Because you know what? What happens when you need to give max effort at every single second of the season? Maybe you don't make it through the season. You have to be open to whomever it may be. There's a couple of names coming out of Phoenix, obviously. I don't know who's going to be out there. We never know heading into an offseason. But I can't just resign myself to, hey, I know what I saw in January. And hey, this team never got the chance. And hey, Brunson has become the superstar you need. That's all you need. They've got Randle. They've got Anunoby. They were the best team in January. And damn it, I'm going to see this through because I believe this team is good enough. When you look at the toughness of the team, when you look at the mentality of the team and the camaraderie of the team, and that's good enough for me. It's not. It's not good enough. They need to figure out a way to get better because last year's a nice story, but ultimately, if it's what they are, then it's a disappointing season losing to the Pacers. I don't want to lose in the second round again, and I'm not letting the last 20 years of just futility have me so surprised and happy to be where they were this year. The Knicks are now for real, right? We like to say it. We want to throw praise at them. Everyone's talking about the job Leon Rose has done. The Knicks are for real. And being part of for real is expectations. And now the expectations are sky high. And they're going to have to go out there and get better and probably have to add a star. If not, add damn good surrounding pieces. But you have to be, as this offseason starts, open to moving Julius Randle if need be, or whatever has to be done, figuring out a way to give Brunson a running partner. And I do believe this, that he is the star. He needs to be the guy. I do not bring in a superstar who takes over that number one role. Brunson is clearly the guy who needs to be the leader of the team. But do they have a secondary star? Do they have one that can stay healthy? Do they have a team that can do more than just grit and fight to game seven of the second round? That's what they're going to have to find out in this offseason. And I don't know why saying that there's some disappointment with getting blown out three consecutive games in the playoffs. And I don't know why they're saying there's some disappointment in getting back to the same spot they got last year. And I don't know why there's some disappointment in saying they didn't play well in Game 7. I don't know why that is some sort of, you know, I lose my Knick fandom card, because I don't immediately, the second the final whistle blows, got on my knees and just gave them the "we are not worthy, thank you for a wonderful year." So as the offseason starts, yes, I'm thrilled with the team overall. I'm a day away from it. I'm feeling better about it. And a week, maybe I'll get there with you. But as I look at this team, I don't think, hey, just run it back. Hey, they're good enough. Hey, it's the injuries. I think let's get better. They need to get better. Because I'll tell you this, I have no doubt Milwaukee's going to get better. I have no doubt this Pacers team that just steamrolled the Knicks the last half of this series is going to get better. The Knicks need to as well. 877-337-6666. We'll get to the baseball, the blown save, a frustrating loss for the New York Yankees, despite being on a 7-game winning streak heading into it. The problem that even the great Clay Holmes, and I will call him great, the problem that even the great Clay Holmes has, and of course the Mets, and just the lousy baseball they continue to provide.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Lynn likes the open floor, spinning, puts it up and backs it in. Yes. Sensational play for Jeremy Lin.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Linsanity continues here at Madison Square Garden.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah. All right, 229, McMonagle here with you. 877-337-6666. So, yeah, as we get a day away from the end of the Knicks season, I don't know why. I mean, we had a thing. Didn't we have a good thing going? Didn't we have a good garden party thing going where it was every other night? Why are we waiting till Wednesday to play this Ranger game? I mean, just brutal. We saw Edmonton take care of Vancouver in Game 7 last night. And it's the Rangers and the Florida Panthers on Wednesday. But as we get away from that second half of the garden party and the Knicks loss to the Pacers, a lot of the talk today, you know, it's funny. Because, you know, I've been battling with Yankee fans a lot because I'm somewhat more pleased with the amount of winning they do, right? So I've been on, I guess you could kind of say the other side of this, but when they lose, like the day they lose, the minute they lose, no matter what the reasons were, like they were injuries in 2022, right? They had to bring back Matt Carpenter with the foot. He barely could swing. Like, they had injuries. In the moment, I'm pissed off that they lost. But for whatever reason, and I know Evan had the big take on it today. I said it the night before, so I don't feel, you know, bad saying it now. I was on it as soon as the game ended. I was angry. I was unhappy with how the season ended. But, I mean, we're so, like, I don't know why there's such this dichotomy with this particular team. Because you can say you love a team, right? You can say that they gave you everything. And that it was a fun year, and it was a blast. And particularly, I think they're getting the benefit of such a miserable tenure of Knicks basketball. And so to see this team and to have a superstar, which really is the number one, I mean, I know technically, I know we could do a show just on this, on whether or not Melo was a superstar. It's been so long since you had someone who could drop 40 every night in a playoff series. It's been so long since they've had someone like Jalen Brunson. But I don't care what the reasoning is. This was a team that we were so excited about because they didn't get blown out. Because they did fight and claw. And because these games came down to the last few minutes all the time, and they were the teams who made the good decisions. And then they got their asses kicked for three straight losses. And after doing it to them, returning the favor in Game 5, Game 6 and 7 were blowouts. Like, you can get mad at that. We can be disappointed. And I am disappointed. And this is an enormous offseason for this Knicks team. And I think it's always dangerous and always foolish to just say, well, we never saw it. I mean, because the Yankees, same thing, right? Run it back. Nobody's happy with the Yankees running it back. That's because the Yankees are the Yankees. They've had sustained winning for 30 years. Winning a World Series is the only thing. And somehow for the Knicks, because it's been so bad for so long, getting to the second round was a pleasure. They need to get better. The rest of the NBA, the rest of the Eastern Conference is going to get better. And I think it's dangerous, and I think that's the thought process for this team that we love and we don't want to change anything. Like, I took a call yesterday morning, and the guy was screaming at me. He's like, are you saying that you would do something that would move DiVincenzo to the bench? Yeah. Is that crazy? Is it crazy? DiVincenzo didn't start the year on the bench. You can't upgrade this roster to the point where DiVincenzo is a sixth man off the bench, an instant offense kind of guy, come in and hit a couple threes. That's impossible. What did DiVincenzo emerge to be? He was a great player for them, hit a bunch of threes, took a bunch of threes because they had to. I wouldn't mind seeing a team with more talent or a star or whatever the case may be and change things other than the number one guy is Jalen Brunson. I think you have to be open to everything. I think Julius Randle's on the table. I think not bringing back OGs on the table. And let's be honest, that's going to be another, as he's going to opt out of his contract, you would think he's going to be a free agent. And I respect the hell out of the guy. And what he does is so valuable with his perimeter defense, his ability to make shots. You know, I want to see OG back, but if there's an opportunity to get a star and you can't pay OG, it's not out of the question. This team is still up in the air. And again, I like Hartenstein, who's a free agent right now. As we praise them and talk about them in this series and go, wow. When Stan Van Gundy said it, we all went, wow, and we all repeated it and talked about it. There is one player on the team who is a starter. The rest were bench players. That's what made it amazing. That's what made it great. Wow, look what they've done with Jalen Brunson and a bunch of guys who projected to be on the bench. That's great. But that means that they were bench players and that we're open to change the team. And you can't let the idea that for a fleeting moment in January, and I admit it, we all bought in. We all saw what we saw. They were the best team in the NBA last year. You can't necessarily recreate that. You don't know how it'll work next year. You have to think about how best to make this team. Leon Rose was on a process, and he still needs to continue on it. And bringing another big-time player in here is still a valid way to go about it. Running it back on some level, changing some things up, adding some different pieces, adding another shooter, adding maybe another defender, because I don't think you can keep Mitchell Robinson. You can't have a roster that's injured as much as this and then keep the guy who's constantly injured and making big-time money. If you can figure out a way to get rid of Mitchell Robinson, I think you have to. And I think there was a jump in the team's offensive production the minute Hartenstein was introduced into the starting lineup. But I can't just run it back. And I'm open to a myriad of things. When you praise the team for getting where they got with one starter and a bunch of bench players, the one starter and the one A-plus superstar is the only guy who needs to stay. 877-337-6666. Mick and T-Neck, what's up, Mick?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
And by the way, I was listening last night, and a guy got on, and he said Mike.
Yes.
That was his first name.
Yes.
I want to tell you that when you first started, like last summer, I thought your first name was Mick. I thought your name was Mick Monaco. Then I learned it was Chris.
Chris,
anyway,
Mick Monaco, yes.
Yes, I know, but when you say Mick Monaco, it sounds like Mick is your first name. Anyway, as far as the Knicks and their demise, as you put it,
yes.
Chris, I gotta tell you, straight bluntly, you sound like a spoiled child who got his first scoop of ice cream mm-hmm. when they beat the Sixers.
I remember my first scoop.
And got their second scoop of ice cream when they're playing the Pacers. And now you're upset because you're not going to get your third scoop of ice cream. You're not going to have a Knicks series against the Celtics to talk about on your overnight show.
That's true.
And you're so disappointed. You're so disappointed. You're angry. You could be angry. You could be disappointed. But you know what Jack Nicholson said? You can't handle the truth. The Knicks lost. And I'll tell you why they lost.
Okay.
Because if you think of an analogy of an automobile, they were a broken down car that ran out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they came back great in game five. They gave it all they could in game five. But they simply ran out of gas in game six, even though they had 3 days to rest between Tuesday and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they lost game six in Indiana
yeah.
and had a fly back to New York and play less than 48 hours after losing Game 6.
Right.
They just didn't have enough manpower, and they lost. And one quick, when I was listening to you last night, the Beatles song that would have been most appropriate, and it's great two-part harmony, an early song, "Oh, dear, what can I do? Babies in black, and I'm feeling blue."
I am. I am feeling blue. I guess nobody. I guess you're right. You're right. That's a perfect analogy. I'm a little fat kid who got two scoops of ice cream and wanted a third and didn't get it. I'm sorry. Is that not what we are? Is that not what we should be? We should just be happy with our two scoops of ice cream and go home. Okay. I hope we bring. I guess that's the new fandom. That's the New York fandom. Two scoops of ice cream and we're satisfied. One vanilla, one chocolate. We eat it up. Hopefully it's on like a waffle cone or something tasty. And then that's it. We don't care. We don't need that third scoop of ice cream. The second round is fine. It's okay. I don't understand. I got a bunch of calls saying the same thing. I'm getting Twitter saying the same thing. What's whining about being upset with losing? Because I'll tell you right now. I'll tell you right now. Right now we're in baseball season. If the Yankees lose in the ALCS, I will get a whole bunch of whiny crybabies calling me pissed off they lost. And I will expect them. And I won't call them whiny crybabies. I will call them annoyed, pissed off Yankee fans. But we love the Knicks so much that it's almost contradictory. I don't understand it. We love the Knicks. We love them so much that we can't be disappointed when they don't do it. Like, so you didn't really expect this team to have it. You didn't expect this team to do anything. Okay. And again, I understand it. And Brunson broke his hand. They would have lost the Celtics by 100 points in each game. Fine, whatever. They got blown out in three consecutive games. I'm not happy about it. You want to be happy about it? Be happy about it. That's the one difference. I'm not going to get on you. I'm not going to call you a complacent. You know, you can call me a crybaby if you want, but fine. I'm not going to call you any names. I'm not going to call you a complacent loser. You guys want to be happy with losing? Be happy with losing. You want to lose game 7 by 20 points? You want to lose game 6 by 20 points? You want to lose game 4 by 30 points? You want to do that and then just be fine with it? Be fine with it. I thought we were praising a Knick team for overcoming. And even without OG Anunoby, the game was there to be won in game 3, and then they blew them out in game 5. I expected a slightly better effort in game 7. You guys all thought the series was over, they were going to lose game 7 by 100 points? All right, you knew. I don't understand why this is being a crybaby. The team lost, I'm unhappy about it. Is this not new? I'm sorry, I thought we were doing sports radio. I apologize. I thought like reaction to a loss and disappointment to a loss is kind of like what we thrive on. I'm sorry. I didn't know that it was just like, hey, they did all they could. They were broken down jalopy by the end. And I love that jalopy. Oh, man, that jalopy. That was, I kissed my first girl in that jalopy. I went down. Oh, I'll never forget it. We had our first road trip in that jalopy. I took my son to kindergarten for his first day of kindergarten in that jalopy. I'll forever love that car. I'll just forever love that car. And when it breaks down, I'm just going to try and fix it. I'm going to do whatever I can. I don't want to get rid of it. I don't want to buy a new, better car. I want to keep that same old car because, man, that car was there for me. That car was there for me. I mean, besides the time that it, you know, broke down on the way to that job interview and I didn't get that job. But besides that, I mean, I don't want to be a big crybaby about it. I want to remember all the good times I had in that old jalopy. And yeah, getting away from it, I will probably start to feel better about it. And you can look at it differently. I'm disappointed now, and I'm already focused on how they get better. Because they need to get better. Does anybody disagree with that? Or it's just, hey, next time, hopefully they don't break down. Josh in Brooklyn, what's up, Josh?
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thank you for making it. What's up?
I'm good. I was thinking about the Knicks. Speaking about the offseason coming up.
Yes.
I was thinking of signing Klay Thompson.
Oh, good God, no. 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 Hey, I mean, unless he wants to play for, you know, next to nothing, he looked washed this year.
he looked lost, but I don't think he's lost. I think give him another season, give him some time.
If you bring Klay Thompson coming here isn't what you think he is. That's if you want to bring Klay Thompson here as a, I don't know, a guy who still maybe can hit some threes off the bench, I'm fine. But you are no longer bringing in. That's not adding a star to this team. At least that's not. I mean, I'd have to see more. I thought they had a terrible year. He had a terrible year. He's older. He's had injuries. No, thank you. That's not the move I'm looking for. That's not what will impact this team in a major way. And I'm looking to impact the team. I think they need to get better. They need better players. I want to keep a lot of the players I have. I love Josh Hart. But everyone's up for... It's all up for debate here. I don't know who's going to shake. Paul George. Obviously, Booker is someone Leon Rose has had his eye on and a name that's come up a lot because of the failure in Phoenix. I don't know if KD would come here. That's one I might shy away from, but he's just so uber talented that it's hard to say no to, even at his advanced age. But I think you still have to bring a star here. But I'm still fascinated why this is a crybaby argument. Like, if you want to call me and say, Chris, come on, man, how could you not love this team? I don't care what happened. I love the team. Fine, we disagree. On the overall, I mean, I love the team and I loved what they did. I'm still disappointed. Like, you can love, like, I don't get disappointed in things and people I don't love or care about. Fliegelman can't disappoint me. I'm just kidding, Fleegs. I love you. Like, people I don't care about or don't expect things from can't disappoint me. I was disappointed in that. And I'm not even the loss. If they lost, you know, if they lost in tight games, they got run out of the gym. And they had the series in game three and they blew it. That game is still blown. And losing that series, and here's what I know, circumstances change sometimes. But I went into the series and I heard Evan play Gio this afternoon. And it's morning for me. He agreed. He said the same thing. I said the same thing. I think a lot of people said the same thing. Going into that series, it's a series you can't lose. This is a Knicks team looking to get better, move on. Losing in the same place they lost last year to a lesser seed, when it was considered the better matchup, a matchup they were favored in, it's a disappointing loss no matter how you shake it or what happened. I don't understand. And sure, in a month or in a little bit, once the NBA season's over, you want to go back and go, you know what, that was a real fun season. That was great. But ultimately, for me, if that's it, if they don't build from here and get better and continue to move on and it doesn't lead to a championship, that'll be a disappointing season. I mean, how do we view? I know it was a different thing, right? A different element. It didn't have the guts and grit and everything that this team had. But the 2013 team won 50 games. We had fun that year. We had what's-his-name, Novak, doing the discount double check. We loved it. How do we view that team? Now, I don't think this team's in the same position. It's not being run by the same people. It's in a much better standing, and I expect them to move forward. But they have to do it for me to feel better about this year. Right now, this year is a disappointment. That's how I feel in the moment. Even if injuries are the main reason for the disappointment. I'm not blind. No one's saying, hey, listen, they're at full... It doesn't matter, you know, they were good enough to win every one of those games. I don't know, they were good enough to fight in some of them. No, they were good enough to win by 30. They were good enough to have a lead late in the game, game three without OG. They finished game two without OG. And then, yes, I hate, no one's really saying this. No one's picked up on it. I haven't been killed for it. No one's mentioned it. I do think starting OG Anunoby had an impact on the game. I know I'm in the extreme minority here. I hated it. Once I saw he could, I don't care about the two shots. Once I saw he couldn't move, I just feel like it emboldened the Pacers. I think it made a statement that we feel we desperate. If we don't have him, we can't beat you. We have to play a hobbled OG in hopes of him finding it or something happening, giving us a spark, because God knows we need it. Where I would have felt like, screw you, we're the Knicks. Last time we were in this building, we beat you by 30. Come get some. Come get some. That should have been the mentality, and not, oh God, please, please, OG, please figure out a way to make that hamstring work and provide us a spark, because otherwise we're screwed. And that's what it felt like to me. And I know it only lasted 5 minutes. It created an atmosphere. They made a run later in the third quarter, even despite that. True. I'm not saying it's the reason they lost the game. We all know why they lost the game. No one's disputing why they lost the series. But they did lose the series. And I went in saying it would be a disappointment if they lost. It's a disappointment that they lost. Who's crying? Why is this a cry? Explain to me, please. Call me up, 877-337-6666. Explain to me how being disappointed in a loss is being a crybaby. I understand this is not my son, you know, literally crying after losing to, you know, a game of, you know, Clue to my other son. This is the Knicks. I don't know. All right, I'll tell you what, Yankee fans, if you're out there, please remember this. When the Yankees lose, if the Yankees lose in the ALCS, don't be crybabies. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear disappointment. Just remember the fun regular season they gave us. That was the take after 22, right? After that 99-win season and winning the division and all those wins and Judge's 62 home runs, when they lost the ALCS, the feeling was, wow, what a great year. Judge broke a record. A lot of fun. Won 99 games. Back on top of the division again. Won a game 5 against Cleveland. We were out in the streets celebrating. It was awesome. I know they lost, but hey. They were you know, down a couple of pieces, and the Astros are really good. I mean, you know, they were broken down jalopy by then. It's okay. I remember that was the take. That's what everyone said. 877-337-6666. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Call me a crybaby. Call me what you will. Disappointed. Disappointed they lost game 7. And I'm still working through it. I wanted that third scoop of ice cream. You can't just have the chocolate and vanilla. You need the strawberry. You need the strawberry.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Now the pass across, they score! The Rangers take a 4-3 lead with 4:19 remaining. Long shift and the finish by Chris Kreider. A third period hat trick.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, so yeah, that promo is what we're focused on now. The New York Rangers. That's all we got left. We do have a baseball season. We'll get to the baseball next hour. Yankees blow a game against the Seattle Mariners. I told you they couldn't beat anybody good. Sure, oh yeah, it's easy to beat the White Sox. Look what happens when you play the Mariners. Oh, you're beating your chest about Clay Holmes. He's a bum. He's a bum. But they're not, those people aren't crybabies. Just me. Just me. 877-337-6666. Vinny in Texas. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, Chris. How are you tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you? Better than last night.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Driving from Dallas to Houston.
Okay.
But just listening tonight and... you know, I'm disappointed, too. I mean, I'm a little bit older than you. I watched the Knicks. My first memory of the Knicks is the, you know, Clyde Frazier-Willis Reed teams that were sure. Great teams and played against great competition. You know, this is the most excitement that's been at the Garden for the Knicks in 25 years.
Yep.
And I think that, you know, you're into the third tier of your rotation in Game 7, guys in the starting lineup. And I understand you're on your home floor and you want to win, and the crowd was great. I mean, in the fourth quarter when they were down big and they're still trying to motivate the team to get back into it, but you're playing a young, athletic, hungry team. There's the Indiana-Knick rivalry. And, you know, the Knicks had one really good player on the floor. Hart is hurt. Anunoby couldn't go, and, you know, McBride and Burks, they're nice players, but, you know, those are end-of-the-game guys. And those are the guys you're trying to win a Game 7 with, and I just think that they're really out of their element trying to win like that for those players. So, you know, it is disappointing. It would have been nice to see him get to a conference final, but I think you learned a lot about some of the guys on this team. You've got a great foundation here, and I think they're one or two players away from being an elite team in the league. And I don't know if it's Randall being healthy, playing a different role, or bringing somebody in like Devin Booker. But, you know, I enjoyed the run in the playoffs. I'm looking forward to next season. And I tell you what, I don't think any way either side is beating, you know, either way they're going to beat the Celtics. So, and not that you don't want to play in the series, but, you know, disappointed, yes. Mad, no.
All right, that's fair. I understand that. And I'm not, I mean, those players you're referring to were also on the court when they beat the Pacers 121-91. I'm just saying, when I, it's not anger to the point of just absolute, it's disappointment and anger at the idea of the whole series and the culmination of it. I get it. And no one's denying the injuries are the major impact of the series. But even without OG Anunoby, they're up 9 points in Game 3, and they blow that game. And then the same team in Game 5 wins by 30. They got blown out 3 of the last 4 games of the series, including Game 7 at home. I'm not, no one's denying what they had to overcome. But I'm just saying, all we do is praise them for overcoming. It's what we praise them, we praise them, we love them, we praise them, we love them, we praise them, we love them. And then in the final biggest game of the year, when they don't even come close to overcoming, and I know they lost, you know, you lose Brunson at the end, and then so I think that's part of it too. I think a lot of the, I don't want to say indifference because that's not the right word, but the lack of disappointment and the immediate going right to, wow, what a great season. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you guys. I love you guys. Is that Brunson would have been out for the next series anyway, so it was over. So no matter what happened in Game 7, the series, the season was over. So I think that's kind of played into it too. But I just, I don't, you know, I agree with Evan a little bit. I was mad last night, more so than I am now. I'm getting a day away from it. I don't like being blown out 3 of the last 4 games. I don't like being blown out in Game 7. Sorry. I don't care, because the injuries were rough, no doubt about it. Turning the ball over, not being able to inbound the ball. I mean, a lot of the stuff we saw in that game, the, you know, Hartenstein looking like he could barely move. Yes, they got worn down at the end, but that's Game 7. Take Game 1 off of the Celtics series. Like, it's Game 7. Sorry if I'm slightly disappointed that they weren't in it. Excuse me if I'm disappointed they got blown out 3 of the last 4 games of the series. I guess I should just be so thankful that they're the first team in 25 years that made me smile, and that's all I should focus on. And even right in the immediate aftermath, I can't be disappointed that they got to the same place they got last year, that they were embarrassed by a 6 seed, that the Indiana Pacers, who everybody thought was the better matchup over Philadelphia anyway, and just the team that they were expected to beat. I went into the series saying if they lost the series, it's a disappointment. And I know a million things happened in between that moment and now, but I said it, I meant it. Disappointed.